Some of us might remember the movie that came out way in the early 70s called The Exorcist, starring Linda Blair. The Exorcist was based on a real-life exorcism. The name and the places and the spaces were all changed. But this particular the movie centered around a young girl who became possessed by a demon. And over a period of time, priests came in and performed the ritual of exorcism over her. Eventually, the demon took its place in the priest. The priest was killed by this possession now of the demon. But the idea of demons, the idea of possession, was something very, very real. And it is something that is real in our world, something that the church takes very, very seriously. But unlike the head spinning and the beds flying around the room and pea green soup being flung around the room, demons and evil are more subtle. They're much less obvious in the day-to-day reality of our lives. Oftentimes, we encounter evil, but it's disguised as good. It tries to present itself as something very favorable, something that we really, really want, that we desire, that should somehow incorporate our life into all that is good and true and right. But we also always have to step back. We have to evaluate everything that we do, our words, our actions, our interactions, the things that we want, the things that we desire. Is this really a good? Is this really something that enhances my life with God? Is it drawing me closer to those things that are holy, those things that are righteous, those things that are just? When we are baptized, from the very early time, when we are baptized, there was an exorcism that was prayed over us, that the child, the adult, receives God's grace when we are translated from death into new life. We are called to understand and recognize that as a people of God, as ones who are baptized and confirmed and receive the Eucharist, we are called to have dominion over Satan and always to push against those things that are evil. An exorcism is always an appropriate response to the evil and the sinfulness that we encounter in our world. It's a wonderful prayer. Almighty and ever-living God, we pray, you sent your Holy Son into the world to cast out the power of Satan, spirit of evil, to rescue men and women from the kingdom of darkness and to bring them into the splendor of the kingdom of light. We pray for this child. Set them free from original sin and make them a temple of your glory. Send your Holy Spirit to dwell within them. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. What a wonderful prayer that we pray over this child. And it's a prayer that's prayed over each and every one of us, because we are called from the beginning to stand against sinfulness, to stand against evil, to stand for what is right and true and good. That's the challenge that each and every one of us has as we go out, that we are disciples of good news. And it's a lifestyle that Jesus entrusts each and every one of us, a lifestyle that we take upon ourselves. That I live this Christian life, this life that's centered on Christness, on godliness, on holiness. And simply by my life, by my witness, by my faithfulness, people come to see and understand and recognize that I stand for Christ. And it's really the challenge of our lives, to be sure. And in today's gospel, Jesus sends the apostles out to preach good news, to expel demons and to heal. And that's the same ministry that has been entrusted to each and every one of us. Because ministry and our life with God, our life on earth and our relationship with one another, it's about not about our egos. It's not about the desire to have power. Because the power that we've been given, our gifts that we have, the talents that we have, are not about us. They're about God. They're about serving God and serving one another. They're about unfolding the kingdom of God. When we talk about power, it is a power that allows ourselves to draw people out of darkness, out of the gunk and yuck of life, into those things that are holy and good. Think about the power of Francis of Assisi. We don't really think about him being a powerful man, but in a very real way, his poverty, his humility, his living for people, his being authentic, is allowing what he professed and be integrated into his very life, he had a lot of power. Mother Teresa could get all sorts of things done simply by her humility, her prayerfulness, her faithfulness. She held a lot of power. John Paul II tumbled this great, great empire, if you will, because of his love and care for people, his continual proclamation of those things that are good and true and beautiful, standing on righteousness, standing on holiness. He had lots and lots of power, but not the power that we think of in our world today. And that's where Jesus today, and the gospel message itself, confronts the misguided desire for power in our world today, and evil and sinfulness that so often pervades our world and the human hearts. Jesus Christ directs us to real spiritual power, to real spiritual desire, to the great freedom that we have as children of God. Because sinful desires, we see this in our world today, and ambitions create a dangerous and dysfunctional culture. And think about that. Think about so many of the problems and the difficulties of the world, the brokenness that we perceive, all the yuck, all that stuff that hurts people and hurts human lives, that pushes people down. So much of that stuff goes back to what we call the seven deadly sins. So much of the stuff that we see as problem and the ugliness in the world today goes back to what we call those seven deadly sins and sinfulness and evil and brokenness. When we hurt lives and we tear apart people, we call people not children of God, but we take away their dignity, we take away their integrity. There's a lot of darkness, a lot of dankness, and that's the evil. And there's a lot of healing that needs to be done. That's why Jesus sends us out. He sends us out in his name. He sends us out with the ability to cast out demons, the ability to heal, the ability to lift one another up, to restore righteousness and holiness in the lives of one another. And just as he sends out his disciples today on mission, we are called also to be resolute in fighting demons and world injustices and corruption and dysfunction in our world today. There are institutions and places and spaces that are warped in so many ways. But we are called to be a source of healing. We are called to be a source of light, a source of perfection. We are called to lift people up and to embrace people in the holiness of life, to be sure. And that's the challenge of our church, the challenge of each and every one of us. Because illness is not just a physical thing. It's not just we're sick or we have, you know, this disease or that disease. That the illness and brokenness and the hurts and the pains that we encounter in human life is sometimes emotional and sometimes it is social, it's relational. All these things, all these places and spaces that are broken. And it's easy to cling after the easy answers, if you will. That this is going to make me feel good over here. Or this action or activity, this will make me real good. All I have to do is take this pill or drink this drink. All I have to do is walk in this way, do this action, and everything is okay. Well, that's not the reality of life. The reality of life is that our individuals are called to be a communion of faith and faithfulness. They're called to follow Jesus Christ in all that we do and all that we say. We cannot allow our lives to fall prey to the systems that obscure God's goodness, that push away God's holiness or love, subvert the means to imitate Jesus Christ in our world today. We have addictions and violence and moral uncertainty, the lack of commitment and convictions, and the general sense of hopelessness in our world today. And these are all the signs of unclean spirits that prowl our world. And our call, our invitation, is to be people of love, people of mercy, people of hope. That we allow ourselves, like the disciples, to go out living a simple lifestyle, a prayerful lifestyle. A lifestyle of goodness, a lifestyle of peaceableness, where we embrace the lives of each other, where we hold hands with each other with a sense of healing, a sense of integrity, a sense of goodness. Our call is to look at our brothers and sisters in Christ truly as brothers and sisters, to see one another with the face of Jesus Christ, to recognize the holiness that's been bestowed within each and every one of us. We are sacred. We are holy. We are called always to reverence the lives of one another. We're walking tabernacles, if you will. It's sort of a cool image, if you will. And just as we genuflect before the tabernacle and we look at the tabernacle as a sacred space, we look at the lives of one another as something very sacred, something very holy. And we want to honor and reverence that holiness always. In addition to these things, We are called to make use of the sacraments, the devotions that we have in our church, to live lives of chastity, to do works of charity, and we continue to worship God in spirit and in truth, to have holy things about us, in our houses, in our places of our work even, to have crosses on the wall, to have rosaries in our pocket or a cross in our pocket, to pray the prayer of St. Michael, to pray the acts of contrition, especially when there's temptation. There's temptations around us. We feel tempted. We feel sometimes moved in one direction or another. Pray that prayer of St. Michael. Pray St. Michael the Archangel, keep me safe here, protect me from all evil, push the devils away from me. When we have a need or concern of something that we've done or we might have done or thought, pray the act of contrition. But in all things, we respond to the goodness of one another by our goodness that's within us. We respond to the holiness of one another from the holiness that's within us as well. Because temptation and sin and evil so easily, very subtly move us away from those things that are good. The temptation sometimes is overwhelming for us. And we need to always seek out those things that are good and true and beautiful, like our namesake Thomas Aquinas reminds us. Jesus clarifies that all worldly goods are goods in and of themselves. Philosophers will tell you that. But sometimes we can take these good things and we pervert them. We change them around. We use them in ways that are not intended to be used. But our call is to find that sacred relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. And we are called to nurture and nourish that relationship, to build that up by our prayer, by our good works, by our fasting, by our almsgiving, by all those things that are holy and right and good. If we believe that Jesus Christ is the only Son of the living God, we must cast away our old grudges and our personal desires and all that junk and yuck that pollutes our lives. We need to cling to what is good and allow our whole lives, our most sacred lives, to be made even more holy by entrusting ourselves to Jesus Christ and allowing ourselves to take upon ourselves the mission of the apostles, the disciples, to go out and proclaim good news, to cast out demons, to heal the sick, and restore holiness and righteousness to the world. Amen.